And we come to this passage of Scripture. I'm probably standing in somebody's way, but I'll try not to be. This passage of Scripture, where previously when Jesus was speaking to them and challenging them, don't die in your sins. Can you remember that back 2 weeks ago? Don't die in your sins. Jesus was telling them that they would die in their sins and they couldn't go where he was. And now as we come to this passage, connected to that as Jesus goes on, because some of the Jews said that they believed in him. They said, yeah, okay, we're going to believe in you. And so Jesus challenges them that their belief has to be more than just a head knowledge. It has to go deeper than just saying that something is true. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. In other words, you have to remain, you have to rest in my truth. It has to be real. It's not enough just to say that you believe. I'm sure that if I went to a lot of doors and said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Most people would say they do. And they're happy with that. And let's leave it at that, is basically what they say. Well, let's talk a little bit more. No, I don't want to talk anymore about it. I don't want to. I'm not a religious person. I don't want to be involved in any of that. That is not abiding in his word. That is not true belief. That is just a head belief. It's the same kind of belief the devil has. And the Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. And so I want to encourage you. Let me see if I turned this on. I think I did. Yeah. I want to encourage you that we need to have a faith that's real. God is looking for genuine faith and real faith. He's not going to settle for faith that just says that's true, but he's looking for people who actually put their trust in the Lord. And so he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How often have you heard that little phrase, the truth will set you free? Huh. It is quoted by everybody, isn't it? Pagans and alike. Everybody quotes that verse because that verse is true. The truth shall make you free. Truth is liberating. But the truth that sets us free is the truth that is in Jesus Christ. It's not just the truth about some other thing. While there is a liberation in knowing the truth and experiencing the truth in any circumstance, this is the truth himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, he was not only speaking about words that were true, but himself, because he was the very truth. That everything that is true is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, and not separate from him. We need to know him. If you shall know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. Because he is the truth. Because everything that he says is truth. Everything that he is truth. Everything that he will be is truth. And so what he's offering to them, he's challenging them first of all. He's challenging them, listen, you need to take my words to heart. You need to take them seriously. And if you do, then you will discover the truth. And when you discover the truth, you'll be set free. So he was being very gracious to them, was he not? Yes. Let's see what their response was. They said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? They had no idea of the bondage they were really in. They said, well, listen, we're the children of Abraham. We can trace our lineage all the way back to Abraham. We were never slaves. We were always free. So why would you be telling us we need to be free? And you know, isn't it true sometimes? You talk to people, you say, you need Jesus Christ. I don't need Jesus Christ. You need him. No, well, I don't really need him. What do I need him for? I've got everything I need. I've got this, I've got that, I'm this, I'm that. Whatever it is, I don't need anything. Maybe a little more money, but I don't need Jesus. It's blindness. And they were blind. They were blind to the truth of the bondage that they were in the midst of the blessing of being one of the children of Abraham by flesh. They had no concept of what it was to be the child of Abraham by faith. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you. So he begins, here he is, pouring the truth into their lives. I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So now he begins to point out, you are in bondage, but it's a spiritual bondage. It's a bondage that comes because of sin. It's a slavery that comes because of sin. And he warns them that this kind of slavery has an end result. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And so he speaks about slavery and sonship. He begins to point out about how it is that that freedom comes and what privileges enable us to have that freedom. I think I've mentioned this at one point, maybe even a sermon on it before. I know I remember using the title, but I don't know if I preached from this passage. But the question around my way anyway, and when I see somebody from the area and I want to know who they are, what do I ask? Who's your father? I say, who's your father? Now I have to say, who's your grandfather? I have to skip a generation because I don't even know who the father is anymore. Especially if I'm talking to kids. Who's your grandfather? Boy, I don't like that, but I have not much choice, right? You want to identify, who do you belong to? Where's your lineage at? And a lot of people spend a lot of money trying to figure out their lineage, don't they? And going back and tracing their ancestry and looking at the tree and, you know, people are enamored with that. And it's interesting at times. But here, Jesus wants to identify for them, and he's basically saying, you got to check your lineage here. You got to check and see who your father really is here. Who's your father? And it's a question that rings down through the ages to each one of us, who's your father? Because I'll tell you what, God doesn't have grandchildren. Do you know what that means? That means every generation has to come to their own faith in Jesus Christ. Every individual has to come to their own faith in Jesus Christ. You have to be a child of God. You can't be a grandchild. You have to come and put your trust in the Lord yourself. You can't hang and you will not get into heaven on your mother's or your father's faith or your grandfather's faith. Thank God for them as they pray for you, and there's much blessing that can be poured out into your life. But you have to make your own decision. You have to come to your own saving faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't, you'll miss eternity with God. So Jesus says, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. He begins to speak about sonship. He begins to speak about what it is to be a child of God. Because they said, we have Abraham as our father. Jesus begins to teach them about who needs to be their father. Because he says, what you need is to be a son, not a slave. And so he gives the contrast between the two. A slave, he says, has no rights, no inheritance, doesn't have the family heirlooms or anything. He doesn't abide in the house forever. All he is a servant. He does his service, but a son, he says, a son has all the rights and the privileges of all of our elder brother. For those who have become Christians, that Jesus brings you into the family of God so that you can cry, Abba, Father. You can call Daddy, God your papa, your daddy. You're adopted into his family. Another picture that's given in Romans chapter 8. And so we have here Jesus saying, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, how true that is. How glorious that is. How awesome it is that true freedom comes through the Son. So he says, I know that you're Abraham's descendants. Don't get me wrong. I understand your claim. You really are Abraham's descendants. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. What's tragic to me is when you talk to people about Jesus Christ, it's not long before you find out if they're truly connected to Jesus. Absolutely. But when they tell you, oh, I belong to this religion, and that's the end of the story, you know there's something wrong. You know that they're missing the point, that it isn't about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a tragedy because that's what the Jews hung on. Well, we belong to Abraham. Well, we belong to this religion. We belong to this. We have this. We have that. We have that. Do you have the Son? Because only the Son can make you free. Are you abiding in his word? Do you see the truth of who you are? Are you a slave to sin? Or are you a son of God? A child of God? It's one or the other. Isn't that plain here? It's very plain. And yet, when people are blind, they're blind, are they not? Because suddenly they fall back on these cliche situations. Well, who, you know, when my father did this, so I'm doing this, or it's the religion I was always brought up. Whatever it is, it's not about Jesus. It's not about him. It's not about a relationship with him. It's not about the life that he can bring. I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He says, listen, you're claiming to be Abraham's children, and yet you're trying to kill me. You're against what I'm saying. It's amazing how people who are religious are often the ones that are the most opposed to the things of God, to the real reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ. They would sooner cling to an empty shell of religion. They were clinging to an empty shell. They were saying, well, we're Abraham's children. That's special. That's wonderful. That's awesome. That's what we are. We have this claim. And Jesus says, you've got nothing. You've got nothing because you don't have me. You've got nothing. You're claiming something, but there's no relationship. You're a slave to sin. And generally, you can tell by the fruit. Generally, you can tell. Now, it might not be the fruit of blatant sin, but it will be the fruit of pride. It will be the fruit of aloofness and independence from God, which is as great a sin as any other. Oh, why wouldn't we fall down and bow down and worship and call on the name of the Lord? Why wouldn't we be excited if someone was... He points out that their fruit is bad. He points out that they have no real desire to know the truth. They have no desire to be free. And remember what he said previously to them. If you die in your sins, you cannot go where I am. And he's not going to settle for nominal faith. It means nothing. It's the same faith the devil has. It's not real. And he wants them to know that. Remember, these were somebody who someone said, hey, okay, we'll believe in you. Jesus said, okay, if you're going to believe in me, you got to take me. You got to take all of me. You got to take my word. You got to believe your condition. You got to believe your need. And you got to come the way I'm telling you to come. Oh, hold on here, buddy. Oh, yeah, we kind of like you. We don't like you that much. Matter of fact, I think we better get rid of you. Because this is not working out. Because we're okay. He says, you're not doing the deeds of Abraham. You're not doing the will of God. He points out to them. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Now I wonder if this wasn't a little slant. I wonder if there wasn't a rumor around that Jesus was born of a woman at a wedlock. I wouldn't be surprised if that story did not circulate. And in a sense, there was a reason why that story could be circulated. Because he was born out of wedlock. But he was the Son of God. That's right. That's right. But would they believe that? No. So they come down to the crunch. They said, hey, listen. We weren't born of fornication. We're better than you. We're better than you. Right? Oh, the arrogance of it. We have one Father, God. God's our Father. They go beyond Abraham. They take the claim, hey, God's our Father. And here was the Son of God standing in front of them, declaring the truth to them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. If this was true, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and I came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. He says, listen, if God was your father, we'd be tight. We'd be together in this. I wouldn't be having this argument with you. We'd be moving forward together. But that's not what's happening. He said, you're on the opposite side of the fence. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You're blinded. You don't see your need. Now, the Spirit of God put these words in the Bible. And they put these words in the Bible so that we could understand, so that we could see, and so that we could see the truth of who Jesus is and our need of him, and that lost people could see the same thing, because the Word, the Bible says the entrance of God's Word brings light. And he was bringing light to these folks. But then he says something that really must have got them cooking. He says, all right, I'm taking the gloves off. I want you to know the way things really are. You are of your father, the devil. Bob Dylan wrote a song years ago, "You're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil." You know how Bob Dylan sang, "It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord. You're going to have to serve somebody. It's going to be one, or it's going to be the other. There is no middle ground here." Now, that does not mean, he wasn't saying that they were demon-possessed, but he identifies that they were doing the very deeds of the devil. You're your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he's the father of it. So he says, listen, you're not accepting the truth. You're living in a lie. You're following the devil. That's your life. Now let me challenge you. It's one way or the other. Who are you serving? Oh, I'm serving myself. No, you're not. Oh, I can do my own thing. I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in God. I'm okay. Who are you serving? Serving the devil. It's one road or it's the other. And that's the truth of the matter. And Jesus is saying, who's your father? Who's your father? If your father is the Lord, then serve him. If your father is the Lord, then you're on my side. If your father is the Lord, then you're a child of God. If your father is the Lord, then you are in his family and you're in his inheritance, and it is his righteousness that's being lived, and it is his passion and his fire and his life and his light that is coming from your life. If your father's the devil, then you're not going to be doing any of those things. You don't have to go out and pillage and rape and kill and steal in order to be the son of the devil. All you have to be is, what is this Bible, what does he say about him here? What is he? He's a murderer, and he's a liar. Lies kill. Lies cause the deaths of the human race and their relationship with God. From the beginning. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? You shall not surely die, said the devil to Eve. And he's still saying it in a thousand different ways as he dangles sin in front of people. You shall not surely die. It might be bad for some people, but it's good for you. And all the while, millions tramp down the road to hell with the devil's carrot in front of them, following it right into the flames of hell, when all the while Jesus is speaking and calling to them. All they had to do was humble themselves. All they had to do was acknowledge, yes, Lord, we need you. But they refused. They refused. And he wasn't sparing them. But he wasn't sparing them because he hated them. He wasn't sparing them because they needed to know the truth. Because what does the truth do? It sets you free. Oh, friends, buy the truth and sell it not. Look for every opportunity to grow in the truth. And if the truth hits you between the eyes, then take it. Take it. Don't resist it. If the truth convicts you of a situation in your life or a walk that's not right the way it should be, then accept the truth. Bow to the truth. That is the way forward. As you abide in the Word of God, as Jesus said earlier. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me, he said. Which of you convicts me of sin? Could anybody? Next week, as we continue with the trial of Jesus, the false accusers are going to come along. They're going to have to trump. First, they can't find anybody. Finally, they get somebody to say something. And it still lies. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? One or the other, he says. If you think I'm a liar, tell me and show me where it's at. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. Do you see the division that Jesus is making? Do you see how strong the lines are? You're either of God or you're not of God. That's pretty strong, but it's pretty clear. And it's needed. It's needed in our generation and in our day. Because sometimes, even in churches, it's all kind of muddied all together. Nobody knows where they're really going. Nobody knows who they really belong to. They just all kind of hope so, maybe so, carry on so, and no truth. Just a big pile of gray. And all the while, God is speaking plainly from the Word of God, ringing down through the ages to us, even in this generation, even right now, with all the fog that's out there, the truth still sets people free. And how wonderfully it does. Oh, when we find out that we're sinners, and when we find out that our sin brings us into judgment with God, and when we find out that there's a Savior for sinners, and that He died for those sins, and that He offers us eternal life and a living and loving relationship with Him, and our eyes become opened, and we see the truth, and we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, and then as we do, the Spirit of God comes in, and we begin to hear the words of God and respond to them, because He was of God, hears God's word. God does something in the soul of a seeking sinner so that they begin to respond to the truth. Not at all. Their conclusion of this wonderful, wonderful discourse from the words of Jesus Christ, the opportunity for them to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon?" Now remember, the Jews despised the Samaritans because they were half-breeds. They were half-Gentile and half-Jew. They didn't have that lineage. They couldn't say, "We are the sons of Abraham," all the way down the line, because they were a mixed race. And so, here you have a demon. Abraham's dead. They didn't have a foggy what he was talking about. It was the same statement that he'll make a little later on when we get to John chapter 11, and when Martha says, "Lord, if you've been here, my brother would not have died." And there Jesus speaks to her, and He says it very clear to her, "Your brother shall rise again." She said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And then Jesus said, what did He say to her? He said, "Martha, wake up. Do you know who's in front of you? I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me shall never die." Never die. Never die. You know, the real death is the relationship with God. And through Jesus Christ, that relationship is welded together with you, and it can never be separated. What is physical death? It is but a movement from one place to the other. But the spiritual death, never die. Never die. This is what He said to them, never die. "I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." And this only angered them more. This only caused them to reject Him more. Let me encourage you today that God invites people into sonship. God invites people into relationship. And people will hide behind whatever they choose to hide behind instead of humbling themselves and acknowledging, "I'm a slave to sin. I need to be a son of righteousness. Jesus, I come. I come to you." And if we will come to Him, He will give us eternal life. He will set us free. And that's a wonderful truth, is it not? Hallelujah. Oh, when your eyes are open, you see it. And doesn't it frustrate you sometimes when you speak to people and they don't see any of it? They come up with these pat answers like the Jews did here, and they miss the reality. Well, Jesus has been there and done that, hasn't He? He's experienced that. So don't feel too frustrated. Keep on praying. Keep on speaking the truth, just as Jesus did. The next time we come together, we're going to continue in John 8, because I want us to stop and pause and take a good look at the great I Am. Because remember, they made this issue. Jesus was saying, "Hey, I'm the Son of God. I can get you into the Father's family. I'm the way in there. I've got the truth for you. Here it is." And they're saying, "Phew, we don't believe you. We deny you. We reject you." Ultimately, that's what happens, is that they reject Jesus. And it's amazing that there are people who are rejecting Jesus in the name of Jesus. They are. They think they're in the name of Jesus. Jesus said there will be people who will come in His name and persecute God's people. And that's exactly what goes on. They will reject Jesus in the name of Jesus. So what we want to do is the next time we come together is look and say, "Well, who is Jesus then?" Here they're saying, "You have a demon, you're a Samaritan, you're this, you're this, you're this." And Jesus is saying, "Listen, I'm going to set the record straight as to who I am. And then you've got to make a decision what you're going to do with it." We'll do that next time. It's on my heart to sing a little.